Hello everybody, I want to introduce you Athena Wolfskampf with the topic typed HTML in Python. Give her a warm applause.
Hi everyone, thanks for coming to my talk, Typed HTML in My Python. I'm Athena Wolfskampf, I'm the tech lead for Germany at PersonalKollen, and today I'll talk to you a little bit about why typing is useful and how to get it in your templates. So, we'll talk about what are the motivations behind even having static typing or behind using HTPy, which is the tool that we're going to use for this. And we're going to see HTPy in action. And then I'll show you some patterns for success when using it so that it's most effective and useful for you. I think it's just as important to tell you what we won't talk about today. So we won't talk about a general overview of typing in Python. We don't have the time for that. And we won't have any step-by-step guides, but please feel invited to look at the HTPy documentation, which has lots of examples, maybe also for the web framework that you're already using. And on the FOSDEM page for this talk, you'll find also the demo application as a Python script so you can try it out yourself. Let's get into the motivations. I mean, static type checks in and on itself, at least for me, are a motivation. Running MyPy and seeing that no issues were found in all of my source files, that's pretty awesome. And of course, why does it feel awesome? It means lots of errors that would otherwise only be discovered during runtime, we can already discover them in our CI or even locally when running MyPy. And when using HTPy, all of your HTML is just Python. So we can use existing tools that your editor provides or your language server provides, like refactoring, for example. In particular, we're going to talk about HTPy, which does not introduce a new templating language. It's Python, as you'll see on the next slide. HTPy itself doesn't care about typing. I think you should care about typing, but if you don't but still want to use HTPy, that's fine, that works. And we use it at PersonalKollen, serving over 100,000 users in Sweden. So it is battle-tested, it does work, and we trust it enough to use it in production, and maybe you will as well. If you scan the QR code, you'll go to the documentation, but you'll get a second chance at scanning this at the end of the talk. I promised you it doesn't introduce a new templating language. But how does it work then? Obviously, HTML, you can't just write it in your Python, and it definitely won't be typed if you do that. So how does it work? HTML attributes are specified by parentheses, so just like you would when you call a method. And children are specified using square brackets, so the get item notation. Here I have a little example in the REPL. So we first import HTPy as h, which is a neat little shorthand if you don't want to import each element on its own, which you could also do. And then we're defining a paragraph here. As promised, we're using the calling notation to specify HTML attributes, in this case, the ID. And we're specifying children using the square brackets. In this case, it is a string, hello. And if we print that, so if we ask Python to please turn this into a string, we'll see this comes out as HTML. HTPy offers lots of different shorthands, so what you could also do instead of using the calling notation to specify the ID, we could also, this shorthand we introduced specifically, you could also use CSS notation to specify all your classes and IDs. Might be useful for you, might feel natural if you're already used to writing CSS. So here I added a class large as well, and I turned the explicit definition of ID equals greeting into hashtag greeting, pound greeting, so now it becomes the ID anyway because that's how CSS notation works. All of the standardized HTML tags we've put into HTPy for you already so that you get auto-completions. So if you import HTPy as h and then you write h dot and then something, your editor will suggest all of the existing standardized HTML elements. But you're not limited to those, so you can import anything, even custom HTML tags, which might be relevant if you want to use web components. So web components aren't a problem at all. And how do we do that? Obviously, we don't know about all of the possible HTML tags that your framework or your web components come with. Well, we employed a neat little hack, which isn't really even a hack. It's just how Python works. We defined dunder get attr to just give you the element that you ask it for at runtime. So in this case, we're using a shoelace alert. Shoelace provides web components. And HTPy doesn't know about this, but we can use dot notation just as we would expect. So h.sl underscore alert with the attribute open equals true will turn into the SL alert web component as you would expect. A little thing that you might note here, the equals true is another shorthand. So sometimes your attributes don't have a value. They just are there, and that already means something. So if you set it to true here, this is what will happen. So as you see, open doesn't have a value itself. It's just there inside the tag. The implementation, which I simplified a little bit here, also tells you a tiny bit about how to go about this. So underscores in the name that you use in Python are turned into a hyphen to make it a valid HTML tag. The real implementation does a bit more validation and a few other fancy things. You can look at it. It's not that big, HTTP itself. If you go to the documentation, you'll find the source code, of course. And now we'll move on to show you a few patterns of success and this short little demo. And we'll start off by showing you the end result. So what is going to come out of the following examples. So that might help you to follow along a little bit. And I was thinking of an example where it is very obvious that avoiding mistakes by using static type checking would be very advisable. So I don't know, if you have something inconsequential like a to-do app, you know, everything's probably a string already anyway, and if you mess something up, worst case, you need to use a piece of paper. However, when it comes to a medication planner, you don't want to mix up units, for example, like milligrams and grams could have pretty big consequences. And in general, a medication planner has just a lot more, mistakes have a lot more heft. So we want to use static type checking here to avoid mistakes. Our medication planner will feature the name of the medication, the active ingredient, the amount, and whether we've taken it. So let's start out with the data, the domain of our application. We'll start at the bottom. So we have medication objects, which of course have a name, and also an active ingredient. And each active ingredient has an amount specified in decimals and a unit, because we don't want to mix those up. You don't want to take a few grams of some medication that you're supposed to take a few milligrams of, right? So really baking that in with static type checking at least gives me a lot of peace of mind. And now we're going to write our first component. And how do we do that? We write a Python method. So a component, in this case the medication plan, is given a list of medications. And nothing about this method is special except for the fact what it returns. In this case, an HTTP element. And that in itself isn't even that special, but the lack of specialness is maybe something to point out here. We're using the square brackets notation to define children. So our table has a table heading which has a name, active ingredient, amount, and taken. And we're using the call syntax here to specify the scope so that this table becomes a little bit more accessible. And we can use native language features. So at the very bottom, you see that the table body, which, as you saw in the example, has multiple rows, we're using a Python generator expression to turn our medication list into medication table rows. And again, the lack of specialness is, it's difficult to point it out, but we put the generator expression there, and what you would expect to happen will happen. And it is going to be resolved at the end into the list of table rows. What does medication TR look like? Again, it's a Python method. In this case, it is passed a medication, as you saw on the previous slide. And here we are specifying that each table row should output the name of the active ingredient, and the amount. And what you'll note here is when you have nested objects like this, you will really appreciate that all of your data is still its original data. So when I write medication.a, it will suggest active ingredient. When I write a dot, it will already suggest name when I'm using the auto-completions of my editor, because it knows about the structure of the data. You didn't throw away the typing yet. And of course, this again allows MyPy to check that you're not trying to access some attributes that don't exist, or trying to convert something into a string that you can't. So you'll also get the benefits of the correctness assurance. And of course, we'll have a base template as well to throw some title into our HTML and the CSS that makes it look a little bit prettier. What I want to point out here is I didn't write the body of this method, and again, the base template is also just a method, a Python method. I didn't write it myself. I copied that from the CSS library I was using, which had a little starter template, which was in HTML. And I used HTML to HTPy, which comes with HTPy if you install it. I piped the HTML in, and it prints the HTPy Python to your standard out. I just copied that, threw it in here, and then what I did was add the main content section. So your base template in real life probably has a few more things that you would pass to it than just the main content. For example, the title would probably be something you want to change depending on the page. And here the main content is passed in to the body, and now we're going to put it all together by turning it into a method that is specific to a framework. So what I should note here is everything you've seen before this point was completely agnostic of whether you will use it in Django, in FastAPI, in Flask, or as this example will show, in Starlet. It's Python, so all of these Python web frameworks will work with it. And here we call the base method. Pass it the main content, and in this case it's a list of any HTPy elements, which can be a function call, a method call, like the medication plan, but I can also write h.h1 in here to give the page a title, or a paragraph to give the page a little warning that this is actually not medical advice. And I think it's quite neat that up until this point I could have given you a slide with any web framework in Python, because all of this is compatible with each other. So yeah, if you want to give this a spin, you can take a look at the HTPy documentation by scanning the QR code. And if you have any questions, you can get in touch using the GitHub discussions, which are linked as well on the documentation. And if you want to get in touch with me, if you have any questions, I'm Athena Wolfskamp. You can find all of my socials behind the QR code or on my website. You can talk to me at FOSDEM. I'll be right there after the lightning talk. You can follow me on the Fediverse, and that's all I have to tell you for today. Thanks for listening.